KIOI, Hamilton's home for alternative. Indy 101.5 FM.
You're out of my league.
Dangerfield on Indy 101.5. I'm Mary, and my guest tonight is Rafe Rashid. Rafe is a Providence, Rhode Island-based musician known for his awesome band, Ravi Shavi. Renowned for their frenetic live shows, the band's music is described as a concoction of classic punk, modern indie, and new wave with a shot of rock and roll. When he's not performing in art exhibitions or fronting Ravi Shavi, Rafe writes and performs with several members of the band Deer Tick in two different side projects, one called Happiness, the other called Husband. And in addition to all the aforementioned, Rafe also has a recording project called Rodney Dangerous. So welcome to the show tonight, Rafe. So happy to have you here.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, why don't we kick off the show with a song of yours off your latest album. The album's called Special Hazards, and we'll play the song by the same name.
Great.
Never have I asked you for a man.
Special Hazards by Ravi Shavi, and Rafe from that band joins me tonight on Dangerfield. Rafe, that's an awesome album and so many great songs. And I've had such a fun time kind of like going through and picking out the songs that I want to play tonight. So thanks for giving me the free rein to do that. And so I guess my first question for you is, I read that putting this album together, you had about like 40 or 50 songs that you had written and you whittled it down. And talk me through kind of that process, like how you had so many songs and then what the process was like kind of deciding on what actually went on the album itself.
Yeah, so we did have somewhere between 50 or 60 songs between myself and our lead guitarist / co-songwriter in the band, Nick Politelli. And those were just the songs that we had basically worked on together. We had quite a bit of time to think about material and all of that after our last record had come out, which was Blackout Deluxe. So I think we had something like maybe like 2 years to just write. And we were just, you know, just down there all the time. We had also, the band was living together on and off in the same house, so that definitely helped. When it came down to basically think about, okay, are we going to make another album? Yes. We were like, well, we should probably not make a 50-song album. And we cut it down.
That's awesome. And so you mentioned, you know, writing together. And so like, take us through kind of like, do you guys sit in a room together? Would you sit in a room together and kind of like kind of riff off each other and come up with it? Would one of you kind of bring an idea to the other, or was it a mix of kind of all of the above?
I would say it was probably a mixture at that point, probably for Special Hazards, which is, you know, the latest record. I had written a lot on my own, and then Nick and I also had written a lot together in the same room. So generally speaking, you know, it's like, of course, it's always a mix and match, mm-hmm. I think, with any band. But I feel like for that record, more than any other, it was like kind of like Nick had a guitar part that would eventually serve as like the bed on top of which I would add words and melody. And then we'd sort of go from there. And I don't know, we got really into, I guess, like classic pop songwriting in a weird way. For that record, we were thinking a lot, you know, like as any band would, like verse, chorus, well, verse, pre-chorus, chorus structures. And just we're really into that, like sort of 2.5, 3 minute digestible, like what can you do within that box? Definitely had a lot of fun with it.
Awesome. Why don't we listen to another song off that album? Let's listen to a song called A Man of the Lord, and then we'll come back and we'll chat.
I don't want you to love me or show up at my door, 'cause tonight
Thank you.
you to love me. Oh, show up.
By the band Ravi Shavi, and Rafe from that band joins me tonight on Dangerfield on Indie 101.5. And if you'd like to find their music, you can find it at almostreadyrecords.bandcamp.com. Rafe is also on Instagram at instagram.com/Ravi Shavi, RAVISHAVI. Now, I read that you recorded the 16 songs in 6 days in the basement of your place. So what, like, had you demoed? You mentioned that you kind of put together 40 to 50 songs or 50 to 60 songs. Had you demoed them and then all of them and then decided on which ones you were going to record, or how, like, what was that process like?
Yeah, there were demos for most of them. Mm-hmm. We would basically just do, you know, I would probably play drums really poorly, and then, or we'd, you know, program them in. And then when it was time to make the album, we basically just like combed over those demo recordings and picked the ones that spoke to both Nick and I the most.
And so how many instruments do you play?
I would say like get the basic ones that could make a rock and roll band, so like bass, guitar, drums, a little bit of keys here and there. I just got a harmonium. So I guess cool. I'll make that five.
And how did you start playing music? Like, what age were you when you started playing music? Were you young? Did you get into it kind of in high school, or what was that like?
I did get into it in high school. I started playing shows probably around the age of 15. And my first thing was just singing and like fronting a band. So I would, you know, usually just like sing whatever guitar or piano part I was hearing. And then my more instrumentally talented friends would sort of try to translate that. So 15, I would say 15 years old is when also I got my first guitar. And then when my friends started, you know, going off to do other things, go to college, become firemen, whatever, I was sort of like forced into a corner to learn guitar so that I would have something to sing to.
Right. And are you someone who, have you kept all of the kind of instruments that you own throughout your life? Or are you someone who kind of like switches up instruments like that you own? Or
I try to keep all my instruments. I've lost a couple through the general craziness of life.
Yeah. Nice. Well, listen, let's listen to another track of Special Hazards. Let's listen to the song called Violence, and then we'll come back and we'll chat.
What's your problem? You're
and feed the chicks up in the sleep. Cause there's nothing left to do, nothing to prove, but an old memory.
Violence by the band Ravi Shavi, and Rafi Rashid from that band joins me tonight. And you're calling in from, is it Providence, Rhode Island tonight?
Yes.
That's awesome. And so on that song, Ian O'Neill, another Providence-based musician, he plays on that, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, cool. And did you guys grow up together or?
So I grew up going to high school with Laura, who's Ian's wife.
Oh, nice.
And so that was one sort of tie in there. And then also I knew John casually just from, him being in Deer Tick in Providence. So, Ian and I would say, though, at this point, we did grow up together because it's been quite a while. I'm struggling to remember exactly what year it was, but I think it was like probably around 2009 that we met.
What I met those guys too.
So right around the time Ian joined the band, we started hanging out, and he had some really great ideas for that song, Violence.
Cool. You've worked with, I guess, a producer named Jesse McFadden. Has he worked on all of your albums, or just how many of your albums has he worked on?
He's worked on the first full length, and then he's also worked on Blackout Deluxe. So
nice.
So two.
Yeah, I looked him up because I saw the credits of I was looking at the credits of your album, and it looks like he's very into modular synths. And is that, do you do that as well through your other project that you play in, the Rodney Dangerous?
So that does make use of synths. I actually just got into modular synth through a new project that I just started with Alec K. Redfern, who's a really renowned musician from Providence, as well as Dustin Rooney. So that actually is using specifically modular synths. But yeah, Jesse's making some really exciting work with that instrument as well as a solo artist. He's based in Brooklyn now.
Okay, so that's, you know what, so we were just chatting about, you mentioned the album that you had before the one that we just heard, and it's called Blackout Deluxe. Let's play a song of Blackout Deluxe. Let's play Riding High, and then we'll come back and chat. That was Riding High by Ravi Shabby, and Rafi Rashid from Ravi Shabby joins me tonight. Black Hip Deluxe is an album the band put out in 2018, and you can find their music at almostreadyrecords.bandcamp.com if you want to check that out. So you've done a couple of videos also too for your work. There's another song I want to play after Courage. You did a cool video for that, and I read that you kind of have some background like working in video and stuff yourself. So are you someone who, when you're writing a song, do you kind of like conceptualize what it might visually look like, or do you kind of write from like emotion and then like the visuals will come later when you're actually kind of sitting down and creating the video? Like, can you talk a little bit about that, your process?
Yeah, I definitely came from a more of a film video background. In fact, it's the first thing I wanted to do was make movies. But I would say when it comes to my own musical output, it usually doesn't start as a visual thing. And therefore, I actually have some trouble coming up with music video ideas for my own songs. I find it's much easier for other people's work.
Really? Yeah. And when you write, like, I'm always curious kind of how people, you know, write lyrics and where they, like, do you have like a notebook that you keep? Are you someone who kind of, like, some people I find like will sing into their phone or write into their phone, or some people will write on scraps of paper? Like, do you have a consistent approach that you take to tracking your lyrics?
Yeah, I find that just some like a large legal pad style notebook is the best for me. Mm-hmm. And whenever that's around, I tend to notice that more songs get written. And so like, if I just don't have a notebook, I might not write a song.
Really?
Yeah. Like for some reason I'll write, you know, I'll scribble things here and there, and I'll do like, I'll sing little melody ideas into my phone, but rarely do they see the light of day, to be honest.
And are you someone that when you write the lyrics, is it kind of like you write them and what comes out is done? Or are you someone who kind of like goes back and fiddles around with the words a lot? Or what's that like for you?
So I don't edit too much. I do edit, it happens on stage, I found.
Really?
It'll be basically done, and then I'll learn over, you know, the course of like a few months, especially the first few shows of performing new material, that I'll want to sing something different, and I sometimes will, and then that'll end up being in the final song.
Cool. Well, let's listen to that song Courage that I just referred to from Blackout Deluxe, and then we'll come back and we'll chat.
Courage takes you by the balls and wakes you up. Why did you wait so long to get to your feet? You're gonna kiss me, leech. You're gonna have to do something wrong
to stay on the street.
Courage takes you by the head and shakes it up. Why did you put up a fight?
From Blackout Deluxe, from the band Ravi Shabby, and Rafi Rashid from that band joins me tonight. So we talked a little bit there before before we heard the song about, you know, kind of testing out lyrics on stage and maybe making some changes after you performed the song live. Before you perform a song live, are you apprehensive? Are you excited? How do you kind of feel before you kind of debut a song to an audience?
If it's with a band, my excitement hinges on that new song and is fueled by the knowledge that new song is going to be played, if mm-hmm. that makes any sense. If it's solo, I tend to withdraw a little bit and kind of curl up, but that's something I'm working on for sure. But in general, new material is, you know, what makes me really excited to play on any given night.
Right. And so I read that you're kind of working on some solo stuff currently. And so how do you kind of differentiate to yourself kind of what becomes part of a band song and what you keep to yourself? How do you make those choices?
I think generally it's like an energy thing. If mm-hmm. the song kind of if the song is more about like a physical feeling that it gives you or like makes you want to move, of course you're going to want some drums behind it or something like that. But if it's a song that really can just write, it's all about the lyrics or it's all about some finger picking type of pattern or something then I save that for the solo stuff. In general, it's the bummer stuff goes to my solo. Solo project, and the stuff that is fun and pleasurable goes to the band.
And so talk to me about, like, is there any kind of instrument or sound that you haven't yet, you know, put on an album or experimented with that you're thinking of trying? Or are you kind of I know that you experiment with different sounds. Is there anything that you haven't yet done that you're thinking of exploring?
So I've begun to scratch the surface a little bit with experimenting with harmonium and tablas and tabla drum machines, which I'm excited to use in some fashion. I've always sort of used, I think, the visual motifs and aesthetics of my own, Pakistani background and culture, but I haven't actually done much of borrowing musically from
okay.
it. So I think I'd like to explore that.
You mentioned that before we just started the chat that you were in Pakistan at the start of the year traveling. So did you take any inspiration or hear sounds when you were there that you kind of got stuck in your head for a little bit or any
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So there's a very great singer named Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan. His son, actually, I got to see him perform at a private wedding. And so he played the traditional qawwali, which is the sort of seated traditional Sufi devotional style music. A lot of chanting, a lot of repetition, a lot of vocal flourishes that sometimes just go into it's not like speech. It's just it's almost like speaking in tongues.
Okay.
I grew up around that music, but to see it, you know, in person, 5 feet away for several hours was a very powerful wow. experience.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, we're kind of working our way through your albums, and I want to share some more off of, let's play some off of your album called Independent. That's that. And if you want to find Rafay's music, you can find him, his Instagram at instagram.com/RaviShavi, RaviShavi. And his music is also at RaviShavi.bandcamp.com or at almostreadyrecords.bandcamp.com. So let's play a track. I remember ordering this album, ordering this vinyl, getting it shipped from America. Let's listen to Independent off it, and then we'll come back, we'll chat.
All right. I need an old-fashioned type of girl. Right now.
That was Independent off the album Independent by Ravi Shavi, who joins me tonight on Dangerfield. And I'm just curious, I'm looking at owning a couple of your albums. Talk to me a little bit about the artwork of your albums and who does them and how you come up with those concepts. So the interesting one of this album, it looks like it's someone on a motorbike with like a garbage bag or something over them.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And so it's somebody on a motorbike with a garbage bag over them. And then Ian O'Neill, who we were just speaking about, guitarist of Deer Tick, but also a very talented visual artist, took a basically made some paint marker sketchings on top of that. Yeah, and that's where that one came from. So I was sitting with him, and we were just toying around, and he made some really cool marks, and looked great, and that was that one.
Okay, and then take me through some of your other ones. So you've got so the Black Gift Deluxe, which we played two songs off of earlier in the show, Riding High in Courage. That's like a collage. Who did that artwork?
That is a collage, and I'm embarrassed to say I don't know the person's name who made it. But it was somebody from Almost Ready Records.
Okay, cool.
That was a connection to them.
And then your latest album, Special Hazards, which we played off the top of the show. Talk to me about that artwork.
Yeah, so that was that photograph was taken by a talented visual artist named Daniela Dawson, who also did a video for one of our projects. And that was shot somewhere around Arizona. And it was just striking because it was sort of reminiscent of this figure that keeps appearing on our albums. Mm-hmm. But she had shot that sort of independently, and it just worked perfectly for the album. So she let us use it.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, let's listen to another track off Independent. Let's listen to Hot, and then we'll come back and we'll chat. Album Independent from the band Ravi Shavi, and Rafe joins me tonight from that band, singer guitar player and all of that. So we were just talking about art before we heard that song, and you've had some pretty cool artistic experiences. Tell us about when you played at the Whitney Biennial. I just was wearing a shirt for a couple of days. I was just in New York City and I went to the Whitney there and I got a Whitney Biennial shirt from this year. But you actually played, it looked like this really cool art installation. It was like in a forest. Can you take us through kind of what that experience was like and how that all kind of came to be?
Yes. So we played within the piece that this artist Asad Raza created, who's actually a family member of mine. He's my mom's cousin. And so he makes live art exhibitions, and I've been working with him for him for the past over 10 years now. And he basically makes art exhibitions that always have this human interaction element. And he always brings other people from his sort of wider artist family into the fold. So he had these weekend guests come in. So he had dancers do choreographed pieces. He had artists do talks, and some academics do talks, some stage performative stuff. And then he had me play with my band Ravi Shabi as well.
That's so really cool. And then do you find then when that experience, because oftentimes like in music, you know, when you play music, you'll play certain bars or like, you know, musicians in general will have kind of like a scene that they play within, for example. So does this allow you, this type of experience allow you to open up your music to maybe people that might not have heard it? And what's that experience like, if so?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that year in particular saw a lot of like cross breeding between our brand of, you know, rock and roll, which you don't normally see or is not sort of usually considered to be like, you know, of the high art world. Uh-huh. And there's usually that division, but like playing in a museum space like the Whitney, and then we played in a during an arts programming in a museum in Shanghai that year. And then we had also I had done a couple of artist residencies and played in other galleries and museums. And I don't know, it's just a fun sort of feeling of like disruption, and right, that you're kind of like a shock to the senses, because everything in a museum is like sort of, you know, yeah, is stagnant and like supposed to be this.
Sorry to cut you off there, but are there any decibel rules for when you play electric in a museum? Like, could it harm any of the art?
We were worried about that in the Whitney piece, because there were actual trees in the room, right, but we did technically tone it down for all of these things.
Okay.
You know, so sometimes you end up playing like a dinner reception of like seated businessmen.
Right.
And you just gotta like tone it down a little bit.
And do you have a favorite style of visual art or favorite museum that you've been to, or a favorite artist that you like?
I'm gonna say Asad Raza and also Tino Segal, Felipe Pereno, those guys. You know, they all sort of bring this idea of live art, and this cool, this idea that the art exhibition can have a an interactive, evolving element to it.
And has that experience, like being a part of that, inspired any songs that you've written?
You know, it probably has, but I haven't consciously thought about that.
Right. Okay, well, listen, let's play. We're going to go back now to your first album that you released as Ravi Shabi. It came out in July 2015. Why don't we listen to a song called Vacation Holiday off of that, and then we'll come back and we'll chat.
Game that I can't play.
was Vacation Holiday by Ravi Chevy. If you want to find his music, you can find it at almostreadyrecords.bandcamp.com. And you've had some cool experiences playing music. I saw this one, just wonderful photo. It looked like you opened, I guess, for Charles Bradley on your birthday or something. And you have it. I've never seen more pure glee and joy expression in my life. How did that happen? And what was that experience like? He was pretty mystical and magical. And take us through what that evening must have been like then for you.
Yeah, I mean, the Columbus Theater, it has been responsible for some of the most like cinematic memories in my life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that show is no exception. I remember, you know, I was walking by Charles Bradley's dressing room, which was just the bathroom backstage. And he was just doing his pompadour up and had been in his outfit. And I was like, oh, this is like, I don't even know, like, a scene out of an old school, you know, up and coming in the music scene type of thing. But yeah, he was just such a class act. And we just, you know, we had cut our teeth a bit in Providence, and the promoter of that show, Tom, asked us to open the show. And that was the first time we had played the ballroom in that space. And that venue in general has just been, you know, so incredible to the city, and it continues to be.
Cool. Now, I also read that we spoke a little bit earlier about kind of some of your co-songwriter guitarist, Nick Politelli, and I read that you kind of worked on his solo album recently, up in Woodstock. Take us through like kind of what that experience was like for you.
Oh, that was incredible. So we were sort of going there to see the guru himself, which is Keith Zarrillo, who some of your listeners might know as the songwriter behind the project The Shivers.
Right.
And so he sort of had this like maestro status to a lot of us here in Providence, you know, having sort of toured early on, and I think served even as a slight mentor figure for John from Deer Tick early on. And so we had just sort of seen him when he would pop through, and then fell in love with his albums. Like anybody who has heard his music, I think like has been really moved by his career. So when it came time for Nick to make his debut solo album, you know, Keith and I have had some correspondence through the years. He actually opened for us at that Whitney Biennial show in 2017.
Cool.
So we had some back and forth, and Keith had produced a couple of records before, and we were like, let's get Keith to produce it and see if he's interested, and he was. So we just drove to his little studio in a cabin in the middle of Saugerties near Woodstock, and went for 2 weekends, and there was the album.
That's incredible. And so did you take it for someone that you admire then and get to work with that closely? Did you pick up any kind of tricks of the trade from him or any kind of sonic inspiration through his process and observing it and working with it, I guess?
Yeah, I guess a couple of things. He would always say his secret as a producer was his snare sound. It made me really pay attention to the sound of a snare drum on whatever it is. He says if you're walking through a grocery store, the only thing you hear when there's music playing is the voice and the snare. So I'm
really?
Like, that's what he says.
Yeah.
So, and I kind of feel like he's right. So there was that, and then also just he was really encouraging to really sing the song when you're singing it. I think you know, sometimes in indie music there's a feeling that we have to like scale back, you know, he's just all about just really going for it. Yeah, and then also just the I guess dynamics, like he really wants. He really injected this feeling of the song going on a bit of a journey and taking things out and stripping things away and then building. So I think I'll take that take that with me as well.
Really cool. Well, listen, we're coming up on time right now, but I just wanted to say thank you so much for your time this evening, and it was great talking to you for the first time, and I really hope that you come to Canada and play Canada sometime with your band. Anytime you want to come up here, let me know, and we'll get your band on a gig up here. It would be awesome, and yeah, I look forward to seeing your live performance. I really treasure and enjoy your music, and just want to say thanks for being on the show tonight, okay?
Thank you so much, Mary. This was a real pleasure.
Okay, you take care. Have a great night.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
For so much pain, so much pain. To break down, let it turn into break. I said to break down, accident meant to break down, accident meant to break down, let it turn into break. I said to break down, accident meant to break down. Oh, they leave you insane. Don't hate that I have to hit the game. Stop for so much pain, so much pain until death.